able to get six sacks in a game from either the front guys or simulated pressures and different blitz packages we were able to come up with, and still leverage the football in the secondary very well. Offensively, I don't think anybody played well, any group. I don't think the O-line played well. I don't think the running backs played well. I don't think any of them played poorly. As they did, we could have played better in all facets of what we did.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, crap bag podcast after A&M's win over Mississippi State. This is one that had me worried as an Aggie fan, because A&M, their last three trips to Starkville, had not played well. They'd lost all three. They'd gave up a bunch of rushing yards. The quarterbacks had gotten after them. So even though Mississippi State had been pretty bad the last couple games before this, just the idea of Mike Leach plus KJ Costello still had me a little bit concerned. But in the end, it really didn't need to be a concern. The Aggies took control of this game pretty quickly and never really let Mississippi State have a look at it. And I think some of the reasons are really simple. It's blocking and tackling. I thought the Aggies did both of those things really well. First thing I'll mention is the offensive line. I know it's boring, but wow. Dan Moore, Kenyon Green, Ryan McCollum, Jared Hocker, Carson Green. I wrote all their names down because I needed to say them all. They did a great job in this ball game. It's a little weird when you look at the stats of the game, but the big thing that stands out, I always look at rushing yards, even if you're facing Mike Leach, 186 to minus 2 in rushing yards is huge. Spiller with 18 carries for 114, that was big time for him to have a 6.3 average. How about Anaya Smith with a 5.2 average? I've said it, I think he's more of a receiver and not as much of a running back, but 5.2 yards per carry cannot be ignored. The Aggies looked really good there, and that offensive line is just the big reason why. They talked about a stat during the game where Kellen Mond has some of the cleanest pockets in the country when they do some of those analytics. Now, Kellen didn't even have that great a game overall. The QBR was 42. If you tell me that going in, I'm pretty concerned. If you tell me A&M only scores 28, I'm pretty concerned. But that brings us to the other big piece of news, and it is the defense and the way they played in this ball game. That was huge. Now, before I go any further, if you didn't get a chance to watch this game, there is one important thing to bring up, and it is the fact that Kylan Hill did not play. The running back for Mississippi State did not play in the ball game. That's huge. He was banged up. So if you watched the win Mississippi State had over LSU, you know how important Kylan Hill is. So that must be mentioned. But the defense did a really, really good job. Early on in the game, A&M was kind of trying to figure out what to do. Remember last week, they got their leading receiver hurt in Chapman and lost him for the year. So they were kind of trying to figure out how to adjust there. Early on, they went with some 3-by-1 looks. They were throwing the ball, I think, a little bit too much. There was a penalty early on. There was a play where they had the pass completed, or would have had it completed, but the receiver, I think it was Anaya Smith, fell down. But then things calmed down a little bit after that. Once the Aggies started running the ball, I thought they did a great job. The Miles Jones interception was big for the defense, obviously, to stop that drive. And then most of the game for the offense, A&M was showing an 11 personnel look with one back and one tight end. Obviously, that tight end for most of the game was Weidermeyer. Little throws to Weidermeyer, I liked. Little swing passes to Spiller, I liked. Running out of 11 personnel, throwing out of it. And then the other thing that I think is happening, Anaya Smith and Chase Lane coming along as receivers are really big for this team. Chase is a freshman, but he is, and he only had two catches in this game, but I think he's becoming really, really important. I thought the most important stretch of this game was right after a pick six for Mississippi State. One of the weirdest plays you'll ever see. I can't really get on Kellen Mond for it. The ball literally traveled like 8 yards forward and then ricocheted 10 yards backwards and was intercepted and then run in the end zone. You're in Starkville. It's 14-7 at that point. Now you're up 14-7, but the momentum really could have turned, but it didn't happen. After the pick six, and this is after or without Isaiah Spiller. Spiller got a little banged up in the game. Hopefully the off week's going to be good for him to get better, but he wasn't really on the field. There were two huge throws to Chase Lane. So when they needed to, Kellen Mond did get it done with the passing game. They go right down the field and score, make it 21-7. Then the defense not only creates a turnover, but it immediately turned into points. Buddy Johnson with the hit. Peavy was involved with the recovery. Clemens comes in on the swipe. Peavy recovers the ball And then there was a quick throw to Anaya Smith. And then it's 28-7, and the Aggies never look back from there. Mississippi State did score, of course, to make it 28-14, but that was essentially it. And at the end of the game, the Aggies could have had 35 pretty easily if they wanted to, but they kind of closed it all down and took the knee, if you will, on inside the 5-yard line. Got a couple runs and almost got to the goal line, but didn't quite get there. So overall, a really good performance. And then on the complimentary football side, not only did the defense help the offense out after the pick six, but the block punt was big. Block a punt, and that also might explain why the yardage looks a little weird when you look at the stats, but a block punt setting up a really short field. So when you take a look at the team stats in this one, a little strange. Only 325 total yards. I might not have thought that was enough going in, but how about Mississippi State, a Mike Leach team, even though they're a new Mike Leach team, 217 total yards. That's big for the Aggie defense. Offensively, 4 of 10 on third down, so pretty good, but not fantastic. I figured A&M might need to make time of possession a factor. They didn't. It was pretty even in the game. It was almost exactly even at 30 minutes apiece. So big win because of the trouble that they'd had in Starkville. I could see a lot of people overlooking this game, but this is the kind of game you need them to overlook. You were ranked in the top 15. Now you've gotten your way up into the top 10, and you're going to need to prove that moving forward. But it was a big win. Really enjoyed watching it. 28-14 was the final score, and I think the complimentary football thing is just a really big part of it. Offensive line blocks well. The running game looks pretty good. And once again, I said this about the Florida win. I think this is winning a way that Jimbo Fisher's comfortable with. These are the kind of wins he had at Florida State. Wants to run the ball, wants to control things, make some plays, opportunistic plays with his defense, and then play complimentary special teams. The Aggie special teams, you remember, was pretty bad against Vanderbilt, fielding balls when they shouldn't. The safety on the punt return and all of that, that seems to have been cleaned up. The punter was punting the ball pretty well and downing the ball inside the 20, if not inside the 10. So that looks good. And then, of course, you get the punt block in this game too. So a lot of things looking good for A&M right now. I can't decide who my favorite defensive player is right now, whether it's Buddy Johnson playing that well. Clemens is a beast. Peavy has always been a guy that I liked. I'm not sure if the back end guys are playing really, really well right now, or if it's just that the front is so impressive, because right now that front is bringing it. And I think overall the best player might be Buddy Johnson if I had to pick one. But the Aggie front and linebackers are really playing well at this point in the season. So now we come to a really important part of this season. I know a lot of people made comments when A&M reset the schedule, got the redone schedule, and you had Bama and Florida back-to-back. Well, they won one of those, of course, and now you got this win, one that's tripped them up before. Now it's an off week, and then you go into a series of games that you are, quote, supposed to win. I would argue four in a row that you're supposed to win. Arkansas at home, at South Carolina, at Tennessee, and then Ole Miss. Last two games, you can discuss amongst yourselves whether or not they're supposed to beat LSU at home or win at Auburn. But with that loss Auburn just had and LSU looking like they've looked, I don't think there's anything on the Aggie schedule from now to the end that is insurmountable. They've just got to play good football and get the wins. It'll also be interesting to see over this next couple weeks, do they get it dialed up the right way? Off the off week, are they reading the press clippings or not? Because remember, they are undefeated against Arkansas since joining the SEC, but there have been weird, crazy games, stuff has gone to overtime. It's just been bizarre, and I keep wondering when that streak is going to end. And then South Carolina, that started in 2014, so there have been six of those games, and the Aggies have won all six. So they are 14-0 combined between the next two teams they are going to play. Tennessee's been up and down. You got to go to Knoxville, which is tough, but we'll do what Jimbo Fisher says and go one day at a time, one game at a time. A&M looking at Arkansas after an off week, but they're looking good right now. 3-1 overall, and I really enjoy watching them. I like this team right now. They've got some good grit to them, and I just like a team that can block and tackle. I'm not sure when the last time I saw an offensive line block like that and a defense stand up like that. It has been a while, and it was a lot of fun to watch. A&M's 3-1, and it's an off week again. So next week, just hit with some general football stuff. Hope everybody is safe and sound and healthy and happy out there. Check out hornfm.com if you missed anything. If you didn't get a chance to listen to my interview with Rob Halford of Judas Priest, if you're a metalhead like me, we talk about his autobiography. That was a really cool interview to get. Shout out again to Trey Elling for hooking that up. That is in the Crap Bag podcast list, along with a lot of other podcasts podcast, football and otherwise, that you can check out. Stay safe out there. Next Tuesday night at 9, I'll try to get you another Crap Bag podcast. See ya!